Well, I guess you're not going to be surprised when you hear once again that the 12 days of Christmas have gotten more expensive. A 3.1% increase over last year would have cost $18,920. And actually what caused the largest increase this year were wages. For the first time, skilled laborers' wages went up. So according to the Philadelphia Dance Company, the nine ladies dancing earned $4,759. A 4% increase. And Lords of Leaping went up 3%. The Drummers Drumming and Pipers Piping, 3.4% more than compared with 2005. But the single most dramatic increase for a single item was the cost of the pear tree. The pear tree went up 44% from $89.99 to $129.99. So some of you who have done these again this year are out a lot more money. In our Advent series here at Crossroads, we were talking about what a difference a day makes. And what a difference a day makes indeed, doesn't it? I mean, think about the difference between December 24th and December 25th. The Christmas music will be gone from the malls and the radio stations. The sense of anticipation is going to be replaced by either relief or disappointment. And your local Rite Aid, CVS, Eckerd, or Walgreens will quickly replace the tinsel and bows with Valentine's cards and candies. Just wait and see. And by the 26th, impatient hordes of last-minute shoppers will be replaced by impatient hordes of shoppers making exchanges and spending gift cards. But what a difference a day makes, that day when Jesus was born. As the angel told the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." After the hundreds of years of anticipation by the prophets, now the angel said, "Today is the day. The waiting is over. The Christ, the Messiah, has come." What a difference a day makes. One of the more interesting books that I read this year was a book by Malcolm Gladwell entitled The Tipping Point. And it talks about how little things make a big difference. And it talks about how small things have started such things as epidemics and fashion trends and things like that. And so the tipping points have three things in common. It's contagious, it spreads, it's a little cause that has a big effect, and that change happens quickly in one dramatic moment. Well, I'm not sure if the birth of Jesus Christ qualifies as one of his tipping points, but it's certainly the tipping point of all of history. And it might not appear to have been a very big thing on that first Christmas night, but certainly it was the most important night of history. What a difference a day makes. As that child grew and walked in Galilee, those who met him would never forget him. The day they met Jesus was a day that made quite a difference in their lives. If you think of a woman who one day, just as any other day, she went to the well to draw water. And there she met a man she'd never met before. She was surprised because this man spoke to her, because men weren't supposed to speak to women in public like that. And then she found out that he was more than a man. He was more than a prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the seeking Savior, and her life was changed forever. What a difference a day makes. And there was another man, a little man in Jericho, and he was hated by so many people because he was a tax collector. And he heard about this Jesus, and he heard that Jesus was coming through, and so he climbed up into a tree so that he could see this one that everybody had been talking about. And when Jesus looked up in that tree in the midst of the crowd, he said, "Zacchaeus, today I must stay in your house." And Jesus went to his house that day. And it was a day that changed his life forever. What a difference a day makes. And there was another day when a Roman centurion went to work as usual, but his work was a little different. His work was that of the executioner's detail. And yes, there were three to be executed this day by crucifixion. They were all rabble-rousers of one sort or another. But as a centurion watched the death of those three, he watched the death of one in particular. He heard the words that he said. He saw the way that he approached death and the words of blessing rather than the words of curse that he had always heard. And he said, the text of Scripture says, when he saw the manner of his death, he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." what a difference a day makes in the life of that man as well. But you know, the day that Jesus Christ was born was an important day because it made possible another day. Another day that made all the difference. It was the day, that day, when Jesus went to the cross. When he went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. When he died, and not merely did he die, but 3 days later he rose again from the dead. What a difference those days make. Because through him we know we can have forgiveness and everlasting life. And ever since that day, there have been so many days that have made differences in millions of lives. One not so long after Jesus' resurrection, there was a man who was a persecutor of the Christians. He was feared by the Christians. In fact, he was on his way to Damascus to persecute and jail some more when the risen Christ appeared to him. And that man, educated in Greek philosophy in Tarsus, educated in the ways of Jewish religion at the feet of the greatest teacher of the day, Gamaliel, that man's life was changed. What a difference a day makes. And then he became the greatest preacher of the good news of that gospel, the good news of that Christ, greatest teacher and preacher throughout history, probably. But then as you go and you walk through the pages of history, you can see what a difference a day made in the lives of so many people. For example, there was a mathematician and philosopher who at age 8 wrote his first scientific paper. There you go. At 16, he wrote a mathematical essay that broke new ground in the field of geometry. When he was 19, he invented a calculating machine. When he was 23, he made discoveries in physics and proved the existence of the vacuum. This paved the way for so many things that we take for granted today, but this was hundreds of years ago. His name was Blaise Pascal. And after he was nearly killed in a carriage accident, he was converted to a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. What a difference a day made for him. It was such a life-transforming day that he wrote about it, and he put that inside the lining of his coat, which they found and they retrieved on the day of his death when he was 39. And in it, he told how he had come to know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he ended by writing, "I will never forget thy word." What a difference a day makes. And then there was a composer whom many believe to have been the greatest composer of all time. And he would write in the columns and in the margins of his music, he would write SDG, which stands for Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be glory. Someone described J.S. Bach as a theologian who just happened to work with a keyboard. Very well put. Then there was another scientist who was born on Christmas Day. Interestingly enough, he discovered the binomial theorem, the method of fluxions or calculus, the law of gravitation, the composite nature of light, all before he was 30. What have I done with my life? Foundations of modern astronomy and physics we owe to him. Sir Isaac Newton was a Christian who studied the Bible daily and believed that God created everything, including the Bible. He believed that the Bible was true in every respect. And he spent many years in his later life studying the books of Daniel and Revelation, trying to show how the prophecies of Daniel were fulfilled in the work of Christ and in the book of Revelation. What a difference a day makes. Then there was a writer, not so long ago, who was initially a skeptic. But then there was a day that he describes as a day when he was surprised by joy, when he believed in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis then became one of the greatest advocates and defenders of the Christian faith. And he, together with J.R.R. Tolkien and Dorothy Sayers, would meet together. And they would talk not only about their next literary pursuits, but they would talk about their faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, I've mentioned famous people to you tonight, but there have been so many not so famous people. There's so many not so famous people in this room tonight who came to that day. What a day, a difference a day makes when they came to trust and believe in Jesus Christ. It was a tipping point in their lives, if you will. And as the scriptures say, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be children of God, even to those who believe in his name. What is the tipping point of life? What is the crucial point that the Christ of Christmas calls us to? He calls us to faith. He calls us to believe in him. Calls us to receive him. Believing is acknowledging that what he did, what he came to do for you, and receiving that gift for yourself. Belief, faith, so important. Nearly 2 years ago now, National Public Radio reintroduced a program that had been very popular many, many years ago called This I Believe. And the original narrator of the program was Edward R. Murrow. And it was a program in which people would write the what they believed, the core values of their lives. And in that first series, people wrote, people like Harry Truman, Herbert Hoover, Eleanor Roosevelt, Helen Keller, Jackie Robinson contributed. But just a couple of years ago, they revived the series. Well, actually, Edward R. Murrow wrote in 1951, he wrote this about the series. He said, "We hardly need to be reminded that we are living in an age of confusion. Not much has changed. A lot of us have traded in our beliefs for bitterness and cynicism, or for a heavy package of despair, or even a quivering portion of hysteria. Opinions can be picked up cheap in the marketplace, while such commodities as courage and fortitude and faith are in alarmingly short supply." Well, they've been getting those contributions, those essays, called This I Believe once again. And you can go on the website and read them. In fact, they have the top 25 most read essays, This I Believe. And I thought you might find it interesting tonight to find out what people are hanging their hats of their eternal destiny on in the This I Believe series. Here are just a couple from the top 25. "I believe in the power of whimsy," one wrote. "Caprice and momentary lapses in good judgment. This I believe. I believe I learned everything I needed to know about how to live the good life for my childhood dog, Buster. This I believe. I believe in insignificance," another wrote. Another wrote, "I believe in love. I believe love, compassion, and humanity lie at the foundation of all mainstream religions." Another wrote, "I believe in laughter, especially when you can laugh at yourself. And I'm not talking about a little chuckle or giggle. I'm talking about the laughter that makes your tears stream down your face, makes your abs feel like you just did 100 sit-ups, and makes your smiling cheeks burn." But the most accessed essay on the site of This I Believe is this one. "I believe that there is no God." The writer says, this I believe thing seems to demand something more personal, some leap of faith that helps one see life's big picture, some rules to live by. So I'm saying, this I believe there is no God. Having taken that step, it informs every moment of my life. I'm not greedy. I have love, blue skies, rainbows, Hallmark cards, and that has to be enough. It has to be enough. But it's everything in the world, and everything in the world is plenty for me. Sad that this person goes on to write these words. "Believing there's no God means I can't really be forgiven except by kindness and faulty memories. That's good," he writes. "It makes me want to be more thoughtful. I have to try to treat people right the first time around. Believing there's no God means I can't be really forgiven except by kindness and faulty memories." The living in the true God, my friends, is a kind and loving God. But he does not have a faulty memory. And that's the reason that we need a Savior. That's the reason that we need this one who came on Christmas. That's the reason that we need that which he has to offer us. Today, you see, today there is a Savior for you who is Christ the Lord. The message has not changed much from that first Christmas. And what God promises is this, that he so loved the world, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not a pious platitude. It's a truth grounded in the integrity and authority of God's word. Now, Blaise Pascal is also the one who wrote these words. He said, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in every person that only God can fill." Are you trying to stuff something else in that vacuum? And if you were to write an essay, "This I Believe," what would you write? Would it be something that you could entrust your eternity to? My prayer for you tonight is that you would look to the one who came to meet your need, Jesus Christ the Lord. If you've not received him, you have that vacuum. And as we sing in so many of our Christmas carols, let every heart prepare him room. And we also sing, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. May even tonight, may even this Christmas be the day that makes a difference in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the reminder of the importance of the coming of Christ our Lord. Oh Lord God, we also praise you that in your grace and in your providence, at this time, in this place, you've given us the joy of knowing you through him. And we pray this night that this might be a night that makes a difference in someone's life. As the day that people met Christ has been the day that has made the difference in the lives of so many millions through the centuries. And Father, we thank you that through him we can know that we are forgiven, that we have everlasting life, that we have your peace, that we have your joy every day, and that we have your power, O Lord, to live a new life, a life that is a life of love for one another, a life of love to our neighbor, a life of joy and peace in the midst of trials and tribulations, but all that the gift of you, to whom be all the honor and the praise and the glory, in whose name we pray. Amen.